So we're going to look at the fear of God today. And the word fear, of course, means many things. It can mean to be afraid, but the word, this particular word in the Old Testament also means to have reverence or be in great awe. Okay? And I was just at the summer camp in Virginia, and Walter Cummins taught on this a little bit, so I thought I would just expand on a little work on it. But it was pretty interesting. He talked about when he first got in the Word, and he said, Dr. Rowe would teach stuff and he would understand it. He was like 14, 15 years old. And then he would go and he said, I decided I would read and study Galatians. He said, so I went to read it. He said, it took me 2 weeks to read it. But then he said, you know, one of the great keys to learning is to read it again, then read it again, and reread it again. And that's, you know, pretty good advice for all of us. So anyway, he taught on the fear of God a little bit. He didn't go into it in depth. But in chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes, the context of that chapter is kind of a summation of life, you know, from being young and strong and healthy and growing old and weak. And then it says at the end, and it talks about death, and at the end it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. The whole matter is life, right? That's what the conclusion is, the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God or reverence God or be in awe of God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. So I would say that having a fear of God or the fear of the Lord is a pretty important subject that we should try to understand better. Let's go to Psalm 33. And of course, God always defines many things that he talks about in the Word. And so in Psalm 33, he defines the fear of the Lord. And in verse 8, it says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. You know, and so that's where we get meaning awe and reverence. What a great thing. So the purpose of the word, the purpose of life, of course, is that we know what the fear of the Lord is. And I thought we'd look at some of the benefits of being in awe of God or having the fear of God. And then we're going to look at how we have the fear of God in our lives. So we're going to start out in Psalm 34, which we're right there. How convenient. And verse 7, it says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, fear Jehovah, God, and delivereth them. So first of all, that first benefit is when you fear God, it talks about how God will send us help to protect us, and he will deliver us when we have that great awe and respect for him. And of course, we see that throughout the word with, you know, many men and women who stand for God and how he delivered them in different situations. Then in verse 8, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. So that's kind of great too, you know, protect. And then in verse 9, it says, oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. And that word want means there's no lack. There's no lack. And we know that God is our sufficiency and our strength, don't we? He's the guy that gives us the things we need. Let's go to Psalm 31. We're going to be in Psalms and Proverbs for the most part, so it's not going to be really hard to follow. Psalm 31 and verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Now, you notice that the word trust comes up several times in relationship to fear. And because when you have that great awe and respect for God, you have a greater ability and tendency to trust him, right? Which is, in the Old Testament, means believing him. So here he says, you know, great is thy goodness laid up for them that fear him. You know, he lays up his goodness. He has goodness in store for us as we love him, as we are in awe of him. Isn't that great? He stores it up for us. He's got it there for us ready. Okay, let's go to Psalm 85. Psalm 85, we're going to begin in verse 9. It says, oh, yeah, how are you? That's okay. Psalm 9, surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him. If we read it in modern English, might say, surely his deliverance is near them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Now, you know, a lot of this stuff is obviously Psalms. Psalms is Old Testament, and originally it was written to Israel. But, you know, Psalms and Proverbs, a lot of times, are very general and they apply to us, right? I mean, a lot of the things about marriage, raising kids, and just our generally our walk with God, we find in Psalms. It's a very practical book. So he says, surely his salvation or deliverance is near them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. How beautiful is that? Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven, which means God, right? God is righteous and he looks down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. You know, and that all comes about because of having that great awe and respect. And we can see even in our country how, I'm reading a book that somebody gave me about how important the belief and the commitment to God was in the early days of our country, and why it was so prosperous and why we grew to be such a big and great country. But we see the promises here of what he says. You know, he says again, he says, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. What a great thing. Of course, we understand peace to mean more than what people generally speak, as far as you know, they always think about peace on earth or, you know, not having wars, and that's great. And at times when Israel followed God, they did have peace. They had rest. It says, I think after Gideon, they had rest for 40 years. You know, well, that is a great thing. Who wants their kids and grandkids to go off to war? We don't want that, but we have peace with God more than anything. And we should have peace domestically when people are believing God. There should, you know, just be a rest in the land. And then it says, God will give us that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. And we see that, don't we? We see how God has blessed our country that way. Let's go to Psalm 103. And it all starts with a fear or respect for God, you know, and it's kind of interesting because what does God say in the Ten Commandments? He said, honor thy father and thy mother. And certainly that talks about our earthly or physical mother and father, right? But then God's our father. And so that teaches us how to have that honor and respect for God. That's an important thing. And that fear is such an important part of life. Psalm 103, verse 11, it says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. So, how great is that? As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth or loveth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Yeah. Again, he loves us because we are his children, but he makes this, even in the Old Testament, he makes that analogy of a father and his children. And of course, our sins are not only removed as far as the east is from the west, but what? They're eradicated totally and completely there, washed away. We're perfectly clean before him. What does it say? We're holy and without blame before him. So what a great thing. Psalm 145. Just blowing right through Psalms. Psalm 140. A lot of benefits to God's having respect and awe for God, isn't there? 19. Verse 19 of Psalm 145. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. Desire here means good pleasure. He will fulfill our good pleasure. What's the psalm?
Delight
thyself in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thine heart. But here it says, if we fear him, he will fulfill the desire. How great is that? He also will hear their cry and will save them. And, you know, when God talks about save, you know, most people or a lot of people think of just, you know, getting born again. But it really means saving or deliverance in whatever we may need at any particular moment or time. You know, it could be physical, it could be financial, it could be spiritual, it could be mental, it could be, you know, any number of things. But he's there when we have that fear for him. He will save us. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. And why wouldn't we want to bless or praise his holy name? Because of all he does for us and all he has done for us. Psalm 147. Can't go too much farther because that's the end of Psalms. This is great. The Lord taketh pleasure. Oh, verse 11. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. You know, you ever think you want to please God?
Yeah.
Well, one of the ways we can please God is that we fear him. We have great respect for him. And, you know, when it says you have respect for him, that means he's a part of your life and every decision that you make in your life. You know, his word is the standard and the touchstone for everything we do and say and think. That's where we show our respect and our awe for him. That it's that important. It's critical to the way we live our life. What a great thing. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 10. Lots of benefits to fearing God, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 10 and verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. So that's pretty straightforward. Prolongs our days. You know, it's an interesting thing because I know that eventually if the Lord tires, we're all going to fall asleep. But we also know, you know, God's desire for mankind when he first made, formed, and created him was that he would live, he wouldn't die, that he would be healthy, and he gave him everything possible. But then Adam screwed up, and so physical death as well as spiritual death came upon man. So God, it says in Ezekiel, that he has no pleasure in death. Right, he has no pleasure in death for the sinner or for us. And he sent his son Jesus Christ so that we could have eternal life. What a great thing. You know, I took another class in Virginia. We took a class in the morning and then Walter taught at night. And I took a class with a guy named Joe Zeminski who lives in Virginia. He's a great guy. And one of the things he started in Genesis, and he looked at Adam, he said, the one great thing about, you know, Adam did sin, he said, but God never gave up on him. You know, and God never gives up on anybody. You know, no matter how much we screw up, he wants us to always come back. He's always made a way for us to come back, and he loves us. But it says here, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. It prolongs our days. But the years of the wicked shall be shortened. That's something. Let's go to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14, 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. You know, when we have that fear, that awe for God, we have a strong confidence. Remember we saw, you know, several verses where trust and the fear of the Lord were connected. Well, confidence and trust are connected, right? So when we fear God, when we fear the Lord, Jehovah, is strong confidence. And his children shall have a place of refuge. God is our refuge, our safe haven. Verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Wow, what a mind picture. He's a fountain of life. And we see that many places in the Word about, you know, God and his Word are a fountain of life. What a great thing. And he's a refuge. Proverbs 8, we're going backwards. For a change. Verse 13, it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now there's another little practical thing. When we fear the Lord, we hate evil. Maybe someday we should look at the word evil and see how it's used. But you know, basically anything that's not in alignment and harmony with God's word can be evil. You know, sometimes we just think evil is, you know, really dark and nasty things, but evil can be wrapped up in very pretty packages sometimes and be very subtle, because the devil is subtle, right? Mm-hmm. And we see it all the time in the world. You know, we should be more tolerant. What a lie. I don't have to be tolerant of things that are opposed to God, right? But yet tolerant is made to be something that, you know, is this great attribute. Yeah. At times it's good to be tolerant, sure. We have to accept people the way they are, but then we want to do what? We want to educate them and encourage them to believe God. Okay. There's a big difference in all that. But it says here we are to hate evil. And then it goes on, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. So it tells you about some things that are evil, right? Pride and arrogancy and the evil way are things that we are not supposed to put up with. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. And verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So we all want to have knowledge, right? And what is it talking about? Really a knowledge about God and his word. And that would include for us a knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and all that comes with it. And then in chapter 9, Proverbs, and verse 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of his, of the holy is understanding. So we know that wisdom is the application of knowledge, but it is the proper application of knowledge. Because you could have knowledge and mishandle it, or you could misapply it. I was trying to think of an example. I can't right off the top of my head, but you know, we have to do it according to God's word. We have to handle it properly. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and it is the beginning of wisdom, and that brings us to understanding. Now we're going back to Psalm 34. We'll get there. Psalm 34, we're going to start in verse 11. So now we're going to see the how of becoming or having the fear of God. And it says in verse 11, come ye children, hearken unto me. And now he's talking to the nation of Israel here, but it refers to them as children. Now they weren't children in the sense of we are, you know, we have God's seed, but they were children in respect of they needed to learn. They needed to be obedient, right? So in that respect. So come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. God's word teaches us the fear of the Lord. So what's the first thing we have to do to have the fear of the Lord? We have to, you know, study his word, to read it, to learn it. What is man? What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may be see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Not that's translated in or cited in Peter, where it says his ears are always open to the prayers of the righteous. What a great thing. Now we're going to go back to Proverbs chapter 2. And this really tells us how. The how of the fear of the Lord. We've seen some of it, but this is pretty cool the way this works here. And you're going to notice some words here. And it gives us a statement, then it says so, and if, and then finally in verse 5 it says then, which is the result or the culmination of what he's talking about. So it says in verse 1, my son, if, you know, that's what does that mean, if? It means not necessarily, but if, right? If thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, you know, receive my words, be humble to receive his words, and hide my commandments with thee, put them in your heart, keep them with you. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. What's the beginning of wisdom? Fear of God. And apply thine heart to understanding. Apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if, the second if, thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding. If, verse 4, thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures. What a great analogy that is. I recently read a book about a biography, and it describes what the gold rush was in California, and it was nuts. And you know how many people really became rich off of it? Hardly anybody. You know who became rich? The people that supplied the equipment and the clothing and the food. The guys that went searching for the gold, most of them didn't become rich, because it, you know, most of the gold was mined pretty quickly and it didn't last long. But so it says, if thou seekest her as silver, people will seek silver and gold, and they'll go to any length sometimes. They will endure hardships. They will risk their lives for this stuff, you know, for the riches of the world. Mm-hmm. And it even applies over into the way people apply their lives in life, right? They'll sell their soul for success in the world. But it says here, we're to seek her. Seek what? Wisdom and knowledge and understanding. We're to seek her as silver and searches for her as a hid treasure. Then the result will be, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. What a great promise. Mm-hmm. You know, what a great summation of what we are to do. And that fear of God is just such a wonderful thing that God has laid out for us. And because of it gives us great benefits, right? What a great God. And that's just a great thing to pay attention to when you read the word and think about what it really means, you know, to have that fear, that awe of God is a very important thing, obviously. It's very important to God. And that means that we hold him in the proper place in our hearts and in our minds, that it affects everything we do, everything we say, and how we think.